Good morning and welcome to Concordia. We ask that you take a moment to sign the red attendance pad on the inside aisle. There are a couple of announcements to highlight today. If you haven't had the chance to do so, please sign up for one of the small group gatherings that will begin today. There is the sign up on the easel in the lobby. And groups are meeting today, Wednesday, and Saturday. On Tuesday, the UMW Board and Church Council meetings will take place. On Wednesday, Memorial and Outreach Committees will meet. And then also to alert you about the coat and winter clothing collection is going through November 11th. And there's also a VIM trip to Detroit, October 21st through 26th. Registration forms are in the church office. Tom Andres is the co-leader, so it's sure to be a fun trip. And the lunch for Habitat Build is on Saturday, October 20th. If you're willing to assist with food, please contact Leslie Cook. Please stand now, as you are able, and join in singing our opening song, Freely, Freely, number 389 in the Red Hymnal. Of us but to
do justice
and to love kindness
and to walk humbly with our God.
Join in singing Gather Us In, number 2236 in the Black Hymnal.
Our fears and our dreamings brought here to you.
Please join me in our prayer.
Mighty and tender God, creator and giver of life and all things, we give our thanks and praise. We are especially thankful for this day which we are given. We are especially thankful for all of your tender mercies, those of which we are aware, as well as those that are silent gifts to us. We are most especially thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ, through whom we have everlasting, abundant life. Amen.
Do you know how to do magic? Have you ever done a magic? I'm going to teach you a magic trick today. All right? Okay. And the name of this one is called Make Yourself Happy Without Doing Anything for Yourself. Let me explain it to you. Okay. First, you need a human being. Okay, you look out here, it could be anyone. Should we pick one or should we ask one to volunteer for us? Okay. Who would like to be a part of our magic trick this morning? Come on down. Oh, don't be shy. It's not going to hurt. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I'm not going to make you disappear. No? Okay. Okay. So the first thing you do is you've got this human being. Now the next thing is you have a human being who needs something. And that something might be they need help, or he might need a hug or a smile. He might need money to pay for something that he needs. Okay? So don't challenge me too much on this one, but what is it that you need this morning? A hug? Okay. So would one of you want to give him a hug? Okay. Okay. I'll do it because, okay. There. Look what it did. Look what it did. It made him happy. Okay, thank you. You can go sit down. But more, that's not the magic. The real magic is that what does it do inside us? If we look inside of ourselves, when we do something for someone else, we find that we're happy too. That's the magic. We don't do anything for ourselves. We do something for someone else, and we find that we have happiness inside of us. It's magic, don't you think? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you, doesn't work for you? No. I bet it will if you try it, if you practice it, okay? So what I want you to do is this week, I want you to practice finding a human being, having them tell you what they need, and then you giving it to them. Will you do that? Okay? And if you haven't figured out why it works, then I want you to keep practicing it until you figure it out. Will you do that? Okay. And I think then that should we ask for some help, like maybe from your parents, and ask if they might remind you if you've done a magic trick for the day? You think? Would you remember to ask them and see that? Oh, look at all of those yeses back there. Thank you. You can go sit down.
A reading from the 41st chapter of Genesis. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and there came up out of the Nile 7 sleek and fat cows, and they gazed in the reed grass. Then 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows out on the bank of the Nile. The ugly and thin cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows, and Pharaoh awoke. Then he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on 1 stalk. Then 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Pharaoh awoke, and it was a dream. In the morning, his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it is said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. Thus, Joseph gained authority over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all of the land of Egypt. During the 7 plenteous years, the earth produced abundantly. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years when there was plenty in the land of Egypt and stored up food in the cities. He stored up in every city and food from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it. It was beyond measure.
Thank you.
Thank you. In the Word of God, a reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
I have an announcement, first of all, that I forgot to pass on. This is a non-church announcement. Verlin is going to be lecturing on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at the Badger Museum, and he's going to be lecturing about the construction of Badger Ordnance. So everyone is invited to that. One of the great gifts of our Methodist tradition is something that we received from the Church of England. We call it Wesley's Quadrilateral, but in fact, it was not Wesley who identified it. Wesley followed it, but the Wesleyan Quadrilateral did not come into being in terms of a phrase or an expression until the 60s, having to do with the merger of the two previous churches. But what the quadrilateral is about is that there's four things that we consider when we look at Scripture, or when we look for understanding. And the first thing is Scripture itself. Scripture is always primary in helping us as we look to make decisions. The second thing that we look at is tradition. We look at the tradition of early Methodism. We look at the tradition of the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of England. We look back to the tradition that came to us from the apostles. All of this, what they decided was true and right about our Christian faith is something that we look at. There's also then our reason. God gave us brains. Anyone here without a brain? Okay. God gave us brains, so and intended that we would use our minds in making decisions about what we're going to do and if it's compatible with our faith. And then the fourth thing is experience, what we have experienced in our own relationship with God. And what this tells us then is that God continues to speak to this day. The fullness of the Scriptures are not the fullness of God. God has spoken to us through time when there are issues that become become conflicted, or when there are issues that we allow some kind of injustice to go on, God speaks new ways to us to address those things. And that's going to help us today with the scripture that Maria read. When the stories of Jesus were first shared, they were not compiled in the book that we use today, not a neat package. Following the resurrection and coming of the Holy Spirit, this Jesus story was being shared with people who had never met the man. They may have heard about him, but a lot of them had not heard about him prior to the evangelism of the early Christian church. So they had these stories that tell eternal truths. Just think, if Jesus had gone in, had dinner with Zacchaeus, and had that conversation that we know of, if Zacchaeus had never told anyone about that, we probably wouldn't have that story today. If the disciples didn't share the stories of the private time that they had with Jesus, we wouldn't know those truths. And if the stories didn't share enough commonality from the different places, if they didn't share that which was common, they probably would not have been passed down as being holy experiences of who God is. We know who Jesus was and who he is because there were people who just could not keep these stories to themselves. We know the rest of the story because it was eventually not enough to pass it by word of mouth. Eventually, it had to be written down and then passed from generation to generation. We know the rest of the story of Joseph in Egypt for the same reason, that it was written down. There was an important way that God was present, that Joseph recognized God's presence and shared the story of how God has blessed the people throughout time. The notion of knowing how the story ends is helpful to us today as we look at both Joseph's story and Jesus. And I hope that you were aware that I didn't have Maria read the whole of that account of Joseph and eventually meeting Pharaoh. But I wanted to remind us of enough of it that we might have said, oh, she didn't read the part about the baker and those other people in prison. Did you miss it? You do now, don't you? So we've got that, the story of Joseph and what he did for Egypt and then for his brothers and his family as well. And we've got the story of Jesus teaching about how it is that we use the resources that God has given to us. And the two stories together ask us to think about faith and reason together. Because we need to use both our heart and our head in our daily lives. We see what in the Joseph story, that Joseph gives us a glimpse of the future in his ability to interpret dreams. There's going to be an abundance, and there's going to be a scarcity. And Joseph was allowed to use his wisdom to deal with that in both the time of abundance and the time of scarcity. Joseph's message to us is store up. Jesus' message to us is don't store up. So what do we do with these two lessons as we are responsible for taking care of all that God has given to us? The intersection of these two stories tells us what is central. Because it really wasn't central that Joseph saved and then used. What was central was that God would provide. Using what God gives and using the mind that he had, he was able to prepare for the future. The lesson from Jesus, that we don't store up for ourselves treasures on earth. God is the main aim of this story as well. With God first, Joseph has other people in mind. He doesn't simply sit back and do nothing, but he ponders and he produces a plan so that the community can be, the wider community can be taken care of. This tells us of God's concern for community. The focus cannot be ourselves. I'm hesitant to say what I'm about to say. I don't want anything thrown at me. If you were to look at your check register, your credit card, your debit card, your account statements, and then our calendars and our date books, the activities of recent months and years, what do they say about what your main aim is? And I'm not just asking yourselves, if I look at all of those things, what does it say about what is really important to me? I ask myself, is God the first in my mind? Have I planned well and faithfully? Does it look like I need to put forth a new plan? Now put yourself in those questions. By faith, we recognize that God has entrusted to us various treasures, time, talent, resources, and God has given to us a mind that we can use these wisely. Jesus himself seemed to be approving of planning. When he was talking about discipleship and how it might cost someone everything, he talked about that studious builder, the one who figured out what he was going to do before he started building. He would figure out the season and the times and the condition in a community. There's communities around us that are needing to plan for their recovery from the flooding, or the hurricanes, or the earthquake. Jesus wants us to do that as disciples, to make those plans. He also teaches us not to worry about food and clothing and not to worry about tomorrow. If our main aim is God, and we have that relationship right, we trust that we are going to be fine. Now, we do know by faith that every one of us, at the core of our being, know that God is in our heart. We know that God becomes our treasure. And we can be free of fretful worry. I like having turned 60. Because something just kind of settled on me when I turned 60. And my kids even say, "Mom, you're chill." And I find that I really am most of the time. God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. God has shown us God's incredible, immeasurable love for us. Using our hearts and our minds, we trust that. And knowing that end frees us in ways that nothing else can freeze us. A large enough bank account is not going to free us. A house with everything that we've dreamed of is not going to free us. It's only faith in what God has done through Christ and what God continues to do through the Holy Spirit that frees us to make our main aim God and how that's reflected through us in this world. Knowing this end, we can be generous of heart and mind and soul as God is. Amen. Through the giving of gifts, we are able to be in the world in ways that none of us could be by ourselves. With joyful hearts, let us present our gifts.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, source of all justice, we ask now that you bless our gifts. May they become a part of your mission for all creation. May our gifts touch and change lives and communities so that our mission and your purpose are one. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And I have another announcement. The devotion books for our Live Generously focus this month are, you will receive them online if you have email, and there are also some hard copies of them at the back of the church that you can take with you today. In our prayer, I would invite us to remember the family of Roland Peets. He passed this week and his service was yesterday. And also remember Randy Benke. Randy is Carol's son-in-law, has had a kidney transplant and is having some other problems since then, and they're trying to diagnose those. Are there other people or situations? Let us pray. Mighty and tender God, we ask your blessing upon our work in our ministry as we respond to your call to be the church in this place. Help us to celebrate your presence with us at all times. Help us to live with respect for one another, for the people in the world, and for creation. Help us to love and serve others, to seek justice and to resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen. Mighty and tender God, hear our prayer for the church throughout the world, in its life and its ministries. Hear our prayer for the nations and peoples of the world, that we might strive for peace and justice. Hear our prayer for all who suffer, people who are sick, people who are seeking healing, those who are grieving, those who are lonely, pressed down. Hear our prayer for peaceful relations among friends and family. Mighty and tender God, in your loving purpose, help us to use and share the gifts that you have given to us that we can contribute to your mission in the world. In all things, give us the grace and the wisdom to accept your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Come to this feast which God prepares. Come, all of you who love God, confess your sin and be at peace. We have not believed you or trusted in your power.
Lord, help our unbelief.
We have stained our souls by action and inaction.
Cleanse us, Lord.
We are broken by disease, bruised by the sin of others, weakened and unable to repair ourselves.
Heal us, Lord.
We ignore your call to center our lives in you, and so are deaf to the hopes and cries of people, the poor, the sick, the needy, and the earth.
Surround us, Lord.
When we confess our sin, God abundantly pardons. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Glory to God.
The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
By one Spirit, we are all baptized into the body.
Let us then pursue the things that make for peace and build up our common life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift our hearts to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God our thanks and praise.
It is a right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You are holy, Almighty One. Blessed are you. Blessed is Jesus Christ. In the power of your Spirit, you created all things, blessed them, and called them good. In your image, you formed us. You breathed into us the breath of life. You called to yourself a people to make your mercy and truth known in all the world. We betrayed your calling. You were faithful. We wandered from the way, and you called us to return and led us home. You spoke to us through your messengers of truth that we would know right living. And so with all your people on earth, in every place where two or more are gathered in your name, and all the company of heaven who have gone before us, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And still we turned away from your ways, abused your creatures, and made ourselves slaves to sin and death. At the right time, you came and dwelt among us as one of us, bringing good news to the poor, healing the sick, raising the dead, sharing table with the unrighteous, and teaching us the way that leads to life. By your incarnation, life, suffering, execution, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. On the night of your betrayal, Lord Jesus, you took bread, blessed it, and broke it. You gave it to your disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out is the new covenant in my blood." Blessed Trinity, in remembrance of all you have done to save us, we offer ourselves to you in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died.
Christ has risen. Christ abides with us. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us who are gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we together as a new creation and a new community around the globe may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, help the body of Christ be one. Help the left hand and the right hand work as one in ministry to all the world. Help the eyes and the ears sense your present and coming kingdom. Bring the blessing of the diversity of the body to bear fruit until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let us join together in praying as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. This morning we are going to receive communion, first the bread and then the cup, as we sit in our pews. That way we will be communing together. In the United Methodist tradition, all are welcome to feast because this is God's meal prepared for us. You'll take the bread and hold it. This is for us the bread of life. We receive it because of God's great love for us, which we know in Jesus Christ. Let us eat together. This is the cup of blessing given to us by God. Let us drink. Let us pray. Lord, you now have set your servants free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of ours have seen Christ,
whom you have prepared for all the world to see.
Blessing and honor and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Will you turn to hymn number 593, Here I Am, Lord. We stand.
I, the Lord of sea and sky,
Father,
let your kingdom come.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Be our daily bread.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Holy Spirit,
send us to the world.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
Holy Blessed Trinity,
one God forever.
Glory to you.
Glory to you.
You have seen the Savior, now go in peace, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one in three and three in one, go with you always. Amen.
Bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I do. Your new old benches look really nice. I was at the game last night and I saw your text come through.